Good morning. This is Roy Ulrich with another Daily Inspiration. We've been talking this week about the doctrine of nonconformity, or the doctrine of separation unto God. We've been talking the first couple days here of the doctrine of separation in the Old Testament, and now I'd like to go to the doctrine of separation in the New Testament. And in the next couple days here, we'll look at the doctrine as it's shared in the New Testament. First of all, just a little bit of review. One of the things that I had mentioned in the beginning was that times change and people change, cultures change, societies change. And how does the church find its way through all those changes and still come out unspotted from the world? Is that possible? And yes, I believe it is possible. Remember, I also said that there are two kingdoms. We write off in the very beginning, there are we find in Genesis the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. And those two kingdoms come through again and again and again in this study. There are only two kingdoms. There are no more than that, no less. There are two, one or the other, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of darkness. And God has called his people out of the kingdom of darkness. He separated us from that kingdom of darkness. He's called us out unto himself. And in the Old Testament, God had called his people out of Egypt, out of sin. And God had established his covenant earlier with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and his people. And as long as they walked with God and followed him and obeyed him and upheld their part of the covenant, God was faithful to his covenant, to his part of that covenant as well. And yes, there were laws. There were moral laws, ceremonial laws, sacrifices, and laws governing almost every area of life. And but it distinguished God's people apart from the average person in the world at that time, from all her neighbors, all of Israel's neighbors. They definitely were a distinct, separated people. So we'll look at separation in the New Testament. The principle of separation unto God is essentially the same in both the Old and the New Testaments. The foundation for nonconformity to the world as found in the Old Testament and in the New was a spiritual separation unto God, which was to manifest itself visibly in every area of life. Israel, as God's people, were to be conformed to him in character. They were to be a holy people, even as God is holy. And that's required even in the New Testament. The motivation for conformity to the Lord was to come from a love and a reverence for him. That was very clearly spoken about in the Old Testament, and that's exactly how God desires it in the New Testament. The motivation for not being conformed to the world is not just a matter of do's and don'ts. God is interested in a life of holiness, a love and a reverence for him. And out of that flows the life of separation, which manifests itself in every area of life. The Old Testament principles of love for God and separation unto him and of nonconformity to Satan's kingdom are all reaffirmed in the New Testament. In fact, they're intensified. The New Testament writers build squarely on the eternal truths of God's word as found in the Old Testament, and they make the demands of God's law even more penetrating than they had been in Judaism. And remember, we talked about the two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And if you are at the age of accountability, you are in either one or the other. And like it or not, that is reality. The Israelites were God's people by birth, descendants of Abraham. If you were not by birth a descendant of Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, you just were not a Jew. That's just how it was. Now, it was possible for a Gentile to become a Jew if he were a proselyte. And likewise, to become a child of God in the new covenant is through a spiritual birth. And hence, we become a part of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of light, through the new birth. Well, just as in the old covenant, those who were of the Jewish kingdom or nation were easily distinguished by their manner of life, in their relationships with others, in the food they ate, in the clothing they wore, and on and on. Likewise, in the New Covenant or the New Testament, those who are of the kingdom of God are also distinguished by their manner of life in many of the same ways. If you would have met a Jew back in the Old Testament days, you would have at once known that he was a Jew because of the visible things that characterized them. And I am persuaded that if we are of the kingdom of God, if you are of the kingdom of God, you too will easily be identified by a number of those visible characteristics. So I want to begin this part, the doctrine of separation here in the New Testament. I want to begin that by noting some of the characteristics of members of the kingdom of God. Now, this list that I've put together here is not a complete, or as we would say, an exhaustive list. I've only selected a few, but I'd like to begin with that. And the first one I want to point out is that of regeneration. I believe that New Testament separation is rooted in the regeneration of a person's life. Jesus told Nicodemus in John, the third chapter, Nicodemus came to him by night, and he said, show us how do you do these things? I mean, a person that does things like you has to come from God. And he was looking for answers, and Jesus told him, well, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Jesus was speaking of a spiritual new birth. A transformation takes place. And I believe that the separation in a person's life, living a life of separation, is rooted in regeneration, new birth, as Jesus told Nicodemus. The Apostle Paul made a reference to that. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, amen. A love relationship with God has begun at the new birth. And that's certainly one of the characteristics of a child of God. He's been regenerated. He's experienced the new birth. He's been born again. The second one we want to look at is that of meekness and love. Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 with these words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, get this, is the kingdom of heaven. Here we have again that distinction, the kingdom of light, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of darkness. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's in complete contrast with the kingdom of this world, in which men rise to power on the basis of elevating themselves. And by the use of shrewdness and power, they become powerful and wealthy and controlling. Well, Jesus declares that those belonging to his kingdom are aware of their own needs, and they're humbled by that realization. Jesus also said in verse 5 of that same chapter, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, we see the opposite here of what characterizes the kingdom of this world. Jesus went on to say in verse 10 there, Matthew 5, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So we can expect to be hated by those who reject God and his will for their lives. So those are two of the characteristics of those that are believers, those who are part of the kingdom of God. Well, we're running out of time here. I think I'll leave it at that for today. And there's so much more that can be said in the doctrine of separation here. God is looking not just for someone who does a lot of things this way and a lot of things that way. They do this and they don't do that. The heart of God is that we have a love relationship with Him. That's what He's after. And out of that flows a life of walking with Him and abiding by the commandments of God because we love Him. It's an expression of our love relationship with God. May the Lord Jesus bless your day.